It's such beautiful work, Becca. Not the kind of work that we expected to be doing, right, at all, but really beautiful work. This idea of, taking what could be an ugly situation and helping process it from a lot of different angles. And it just strikes me that this is the work of today's teachers. Because if we don't do this work, then it's really hard to be positioned to learn. And that ultimately, right, is what we want to do, is we want to teach academics and standards and all this learning. But if we don't position kids to do that, then those things really kind of trump our ability to learn.
We're coming back with part two, Welcoming Back, because we want to talk about how to help the other kids welcome back a classmate who's been dysregulated, and it was extreme enough that either they've left the room to take a break, or we've had to clear the room with all the other students. When this happens, how do we continue to build and strengthen our learning community? This is Sticky Hope.
When I think about welcoming back, this is typically the situation that jumps into my brain. It's the conversation I have the most, right? And so people who are working to welcome kids back who have had extreme dysregulated behavior just are really unsure of how to do that. And so I am hoping that we're able to provide some guidance around that and some things that have worked for us. And mine is our ideas are based in experience, right? And so when a child has had a behavior that's led to like evacuating the classroom, the other children having to leave, and then eventually the child who's experiencing the behavior leaves the room, before anyone even comes back into the room, my first step is to like stop and look at our environment and consider what I need to do before the other kids who were not as dysregulated, not causing the disruption, like before they re-enter our space, like our home, I need to consider what needs to be fixed. If there's books that need to be put back on the shelves, if there are chairs or desks or furniture pieces that need to be put back, what do I need to do to make sure that they're not going to come in and immediately feel the impact of what happened again? The likelihood is that they weren't even there for the most extreme part of what happened, and there's no need for them to know about the worst part or the hardest parts of what happened. And I can almost like protect them or shield them from the hardest parts by putting everything back how it belongs before they come into the room. And then the next kind of thing that I think
about, also during that time, I think it's so natural for you that you almost are forgetting this piece. Mm-hmm. So you're putting back your physical space.
Yeah.
But we're also being mindful about just our own emotions what our brains need in order to welcome back, because that it's hard. So, there is a lot of work when there's a lot of internal work and mindset in order to be prepared, because I can speak from experience of like that happening in our home over and over and over. And so sometimes, if there's this child who's dysregulated a lot, it's really easy to fall into this mindset of, oh, here we go again, or one more time, or even it would be so much easier if they just weren't in the room. And I think right after those things happen, I know for me, I really had to take I had to take some deep breaths. Oftentimes I would need to write a little bit just to get things out, but I had to intentionally reset myself. And when I'm in a school, I have to do that quickly or be able to communicate to someone that I'm not ready to welcome back. So I like there's that piece of it too.
For sure. And you're right. Like, that's something I've learned to do just kind of instinctually. I didn't think about that step, but it's a critical one, right? Like, you have to regulate yourself before you can begin to regulate the other 18 kids you're about to bring back into this space. And that can take a hot minute, right? And you need to know what will help you, and that what will help me might be different than what helps you. But it helps to know what grounds you, what regulates you, so that you can access those tools in that moment. And it helps to know who you can go to, who's around you that you can tag in or say, I need more than 2 minutes before I can welcome these kids in. And
we can keep in mind, right? Like, our emotions are contagious. So yes. When that kind of extreme situation happens, now you have a class who's going to come back in, and there's probably a lot of things that they're feeling when they come back in. There's a lot of things that we're feeling as the adults in the situation, but just like to remind ourselves, it is really important and critical for teachers to remember that our emotions are contagious.
For sure. And there's a lot of brain science. We should do a whole episode on mirror neurons. There's a lot of brain science that goes into, like, how you're acting in a moment is influencing the behavior and the feelings of those around you. And so being aware of that and being ready for those other 18 kids is critical. And take the time you need and practice it taking less and less time so that you can get to those other kids and help them start regulating as quickly as is possible. And also remember that, like, more than likely they're in a safe and welcoming space where that teacher will happily read them another book, or they will happily pull the Play-Doh out so that your kids have a safe place to be while you get an extra drink of water or run to the bathroom before you go in and collect the kids back. And then, like, the moment you're face to face with those kids who the last time you saw them, you were shuffling them out the door because unsafe things were happening in the classroom, you need to be ready to kind of rewrite their thinking, not to erase their thinking, right? But to help them think through what's happening or what happened, and be ready to think about it in a way that we think as a class, right? Like, we see everyone has a hard time sometimes. That was a really hard time, but we're going to figure this out together, and we're going to process it together.
Yeah. So the kids are coming back into your room, right? And, like, let's say, like, so they come back in and they might say, like, Harper hurt me. Mm. What are you saying back to them?
Like, my first instinct is, are you okay? Right? Like, you don't want to negate whether they're hurt. You don't want to, like, that's not a debate. But you can check in on them, and 9 times out of 10, they're not hurt physically, and they might be confused by the action. And in the end, they might say, like, well, the book hit me when she threw it. And you'd be like, ooh, like, it felt really yucky when the book hit you, because you know we're not supposed to throw things. And that really confused you. And you just kind of acknowledge it and don't try to justify it, right? Like, we don't throw things in here. But, like, also, you're not, like, bleeding and on the ground.
I might come in, like, in your kindergarten classroom, and I could imagine somebody saying, Nolan was so mean. Mm.
Yeah, and that is something I would debate. Because there is a difference between mean and dysregulated, or mean and frustrated. And the difference is intentionality. And so my perspective is, like, if Nolan is so frustrated that someone gets hurt, then that is rooted in his frustration, not him trying to hurt someone. If Nolan wants your toy and stomps on your foot to get your toy, that is mean, because he's intentionally trying to hurt you in order to get your toy. And so those are conversations, one, that we would already be having, right? Like, those are conversations we would have already had. And so it would be more of a reminder conversation at this point. But it would be like, oh, like you were noticing how frustrated Nolan was or how upset Nolan was. And he was doing some big, hard things. And you kind of want to rephrase it, taking that word mean out and helping them to see the bigger root of what was happening.
So just like, how would that conversation sound? Like just in real time. So I say, Mrs. Burke, Nolan was so mean.
So I would say, you noticed how frustrated Nolan was when I told him it was time to go on eSpark on our iPads. He threw that iPad and he was so frustrated. And you were seeing him say and do some things that you know we're not supposed to do in school. And the kids would either, some kids will be like, yeah, right. And that's kind of the end of like, they've accepted, oh, he was just upset. And then other kids are going to be like, yeah, he shouldn't have said those things. He was so mean to you. And I would come back and say, you know, like he was so upset that he didn't get to choose the app on the iPad that he said some things that could really hurt me, but I just knew he was upset. And I can keep coming back like he was upset. He was frustrated. He was upset. He was frustrated. And that messaging comes through as they're trying to make sense of the situation. They get to a point of accepting like, oh, really, those behaviors were rooted in his frustration or his upset.
Yeah. So, Becca, you do a lot of work with shared narratives. So we've kind of been talking about like they're coming in and you're like these questions are popping off, right?
Yeah.
in a very organic 5 and 6 year old way. Like they're just popping off and you're kind of having these conversations. I can imagine in your classroom because we've been there, you know, there's probably some people with the Play-Doh and some people have markers and some people are building train tracks and they're kind of talking. And my guess is you're going to then gather the group together to begin to have a shared narrative about what happened.
Yeah. And when we tell shared stories, shared narratives about shared experiences, it's important that the kids have a say that like in what the important parts of the story are, but also that like, we are the adults and they know that we're helping them to see the important parts. And so I like to pull the kids the other kids to the rug before we welcome back the child who experienced dysregulation. I pull the other kids to the rug and I just kind of name what happened, right? Nolan was super frustrated when I said it was time to go on eSpark on our iPads. He threw his iPad, he said some things, and because he was doing some things that could get some kids hurt, you had to leave the room. I helped keep Nolan safe. He's with people who are keeping him safe right now. And then, like, I mean, at 5 and 6, they're like jumping in, right? Like they're adding to it. They're talking about their feelings and they're really thinking about like, oh, like here are the facts of what happened. And like, they might say like, it was really scary when he threw his iPad. It was surprising when he threw his iPad. And you want to like respect that, right? Like, oh, I can see how that was scary, right? But then you start to retell the narrative and that's not a part you include. Like Nolan got really frustrated when it was time to go on eSpark on our iPad. He threw his iPad. We had to leave the room, right? And you kind of go through the really basic pieces of it. And that's how they start to process it. At some point, I typically connect it to our classroom vision. So every year in our classroom, we have like these are the things we stick to. Like we are the kind of people who, and they help write it at the beginning of the year. So this year they like talk about being grateful and kind and they make mistakes and try again and they ask for help and help each other. And it's like really rooted in like the idea of like we're kind and respectful people and they have very specific things that they come up with. And so as we're writing this narrative about what happened, they tend to link back on their own to the vision and how some things went against our classroom vision. And that's when I get the chance to say like, oh man, like we've agreed that these are the things we're going to do. And everyone makes mistakes sometimes. And that's when I can start to pull in empathy of like, imagine like what it feels like to know you went against what you agreed to do, and how are you going to help Nolan enter in knowing it's okay to make mistakes?
It's such beautiful work, Becca. Not the kind of work that we expected to be doing, right, no. at all.
Yeah.
But really beautiful work. This idea of, you know, taking what could be an ugly situation and helping process it from a lot of different angles. And it just strikes me that this is the work of today's teachers. Because if we don't do this work, then it's really hard to be positioned to learn. And that ultimately, right, is what we want to do, is we want to teach academics and standards and all this learning. But if we don't position kids to do that, then those things really kind of trump our ability to learn.
Yeah. And it can be tricky, right? There's no guidebook to this work, because it's not what education has always looked like. And so everyone's kind of working to figure it out together right now. And when you give kids the voice in how to navigate these situations and help them stay rooted in finding the good and leading with empathy, they really lead this work, right? Like when you ask me to put it into step-by-steps, so much of what I'm doing in my head is like, okay, what did the kids do next, right? Like they kind of lead so much of what we're doing, because to them, this is just who we are, right? Like everyone has a hard time sometimes. I have a hard time sometimes. It's going to look different than, like, everyone's hard time looks different. And we're a community, we're a class family, we love each other, and we're going to keep going. And it's really beautiful to watch them do that work.
If you enjoyed this podcast and would like to hear more, please subscribe wherever you like to listen to podcasts. And if you'd like even more hope, check out our website, stickyhope.com, for tools, resources, and more. This episode was sponsored by Choice Literacy, a powerful hub of articles, videos, and resources for teachers by teachers.